Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading on Friday, January 22nd, 2016. Thank you very much indeed for taking the time to join us today. My name's Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com, and I'd like to be joined, as always, by Get Reading's Charles Watts. Charles, hello, how are you?
Dan, I'm very good. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm not so bad, thanks, mate. They often say it only takes, you know, one thing to change, you know, your week around. It only took one tackle to turn Reading's week around in spectacular style after such a disappointing defeat of the MK Dons. And it looked as if the Huddersfield game was going the same way. And then one bad tackle really literally has changed the whole mood around the club.
God bless Jonathan Hogg. Yes, very much so. It's a complete turning point, wasn't it? It was horrendous the first 29 minutes of that match. In fact, by far the worst I've seen Reading play this season. It was, well, it was a shambles, I described it as in my match report, and it really was. It was everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong in that first 29 minutes. They were just, you'd never seen a team looking so devoid of any confidence. They couldn't even string two passes together. Mistakes just constantly. It was horrible, but yeah. One tackle and it all changed. And you had people point to the fact it was 10 men, but you got to give credit to the way Reading played that the last hour of that match. I thought they were fantastic.
Yeah, Brian McDermott must love and hate inconsistency with referees, because obviously we saw a very similar tackle at the MK Dons on Saturday go punished with just a yellow card. Then a few days later, it turns into a red. Do you think
both
the refs,
red cards?
Do you think both red cards?
Oh, absolutely, hands down. He bottled it completely at MK Dons. There's no way. I'm sorry, no way that a referee can give a yellow card for that. Vidra was through. He was maybe going slightly at more of an angle, but he was going to take a touch as it pushing it towards goal and get a shot away. There was no way he wasn't going to get a shot away at goal. So how is that not a goal scoring opportunity? Just a dreadful, dreadful decision. You know, it was one of those ones that as soon as it happened, you were just waiting to write red card in Twitter. You know, it was just always going to be a red card. I could not believe it when I saw he was going to pull out the yellow. You're just like, how can a professional referee not send the player for that? It's just the rules. You've got to send him off. So I can completely understand why Brian McDermott was so angry about it after the game. It was a blatant red card. And it was 0-0 at that time. And the guy who did it then flicked on set out the goal at the other end. So very harsh on Reading.
Yeah, I knew as soon as the referee didn't immediately pull out the red, he was going to bottle it, and was just in the stadium going, oh, this, not this again.
And he went out the other end and set up the goal, you know, he got a flick on that led to the goal. Reading weren't great against MK Dons, and it was a disappointing result, but the referee's got to take an awful lot of blame as well for that one, because it shouldn't have happened the way it did.
How happy are you for Matty Vidra getting that hat-trick?
Very happy, very happy. I'm not happy the fact that I had a tenner on him first goal scorer at MK Dons, though, and he put that chance wide. And then I also had a tenner on him first goal scorer in midweek as well, and he waited until the second half to bang in his 33-minute hat-trick or whatever it was.
But hashtag gamble aware.
I know, gamble aware. But yes, I'm delighted. To be fair, actually, that money that I am used in my betting account was won by him being the first goal scorer at Nottingham Forest a couple of months ago. So I'm kind of using up the money that he won me earlier in the season by losing it on him.
Well, fingers crossed it comes back. Obviously, I won't get you to comment too much on your colleague in the media area, but one Tim Deller, very vocal on his criticism of Matty Vidra, picked up on by a lot of fans. Do you think Tim's views were justified post-MK Dons?
No, I spoke to him. Me and Tim have had plenty of rows about this. He actually brought me into his commentary after that miss on Saturday, because I was sitting next to him, and he brought me into his commentary saying, oh, even Matty Vidra's number one fan has got his head in his hands next to me. And I think it was because I'd lost them. I'd just seen my money disappear, to be fair. But I don't agree with Tim whatsoever, and we've had plenty of arguments about it. I agree that Tim's perfectly entitled to have his opinion. That's what he's there for. It's what he paid to do. He's a commentator, and he has every right to have his opinion. But I think he's gone too far on plenty of occasions, that like when he's described him as utterly useless, because he's just clearly not utterly useless. He's a very good footballer.
Can you please paint the picture of what his face was like? And the hat-trick went in on Tuesday.
To be fair, at the Madstad, I sit quite away from him. He's at the other end of the press box, so I can't see or hear him at the Madstad. It's only away games where I tend to be perched next to him. So
If I'm anyone's sure, got a picture of that, please send it in to us at the Tarlhurst End. It would be.
I did laugh at Twitter. I've just seen his mention. I can just see him being copied in on every single tweet on the Redness League hashtag. It was making me laugh.
I would not have logged into my Twitter account if I was Mr. Della.
It was funny.
But let's move on then. So progress in the cup. We've got that home game with Walsall to look forward to a week on Saturday. Still not so hot in the Championship, but hopefully things can turn around. Starting this weekend against Sheffield Wednesday. In the meantime, we have made a couple of transfer moves since we last spoke, Charles. Two signings coming in. It's like Christmas all over again. The first, George Evans from Manchester City. What do we know about him?
Well, I didn't know very much about him until about a week ago. He's a big, powerful midfielder. I think 6'2". He's got a great, he's got a good stature on him. He's come through the Manchester Academy. I think the first ever player to represent every single age group at Manchester City from under eights to the senior team, which is quite an achievement. His whole family is sort of very Man City based. I think his dad used to play for the club and work for the club. He's very much a Man City boy. So it would have been a big decision for him to leave that club, especially to move so far down south. So Redden have done well to land him because he is a talented boy. He's very well thought of. Patrick Vieira rates him really highly. It's interesting. Patrick Vieira, I think, tried to mould him into more of a centre-back at City for the under-21s team when Vieira was manager. But McDermott sees him more of a midfielder who can play centre-back. He's got an eye for goal. I think he's got sort of a strike rate of 1 in 4 while he was at Walsall this season. So, you know, he's got decent strike on him. If you saw the goal he scored in the summer for Man City in their post-season tour at Toronto, is an absolutely stunning strike from distance into the top corner.
I was going to say, on the Vieira front, you're a gooner, so you all know much better than I, but didn't Vieira play a little bit of centre-back early in his career as well?
Oh, yeah, there's very much the comparison between, I don't want to suddenly say that George Evans is the new Patrick Vieira.
Please do.
Quite mighty big shoes to fill, but you know, there is comparisons in how, you know, where they, their positional sense, where they play, the fact that he can also drop in at centre-back, which Vieira could do during the early days when he came from Milan to Arsenal. And as I said, he was managed by Vieira, who rated him highly. So I'm sure, hopefully, Patrick's said a lot of things that have stuck in George Evans' head, and we might start seeing the benefit of that at Reading. I think it's a very exciting signing. Obviously, it's not, you know, he's not someone who many of us would probably really heard about until last week. So it's not one of these headline catching signings that gets fans excited during a transfer window. But I think it's a very wise move from the club. It's a very Reading like move from the club as well, you know, investing in young talent, which hopefully they can develop themselves and bring through, and he can go on and become a really established first team player. But I think it's a good sign, and I think it's one to look forward to seeing how he'll go over the next couple of years. I haven't actually spoken to him yet, but randomly on my way back from the training ground yesterday, I pulled in to buy a Subway at a petrol station on the way back to the office, and he followed me in.
Oh, very nice. What Subway did he get?
No, he went and paid for some. Actually, no, I think he went and got some paracetamol. I think he's probably a bit sore after training or something. While I was queuing up to get as much food as I possibly could.
I was going to say, you can tell a lot about a player by the Subway he picks.
Yes, but he's a big lad. You know, he looks decent. He's got a decent stature on him, and I think he'll stand up for himself as well.
He'll be after an Italian BMT then.
Got an impressive car. That's what I got.
Oh, well, there you go.
He's got
both
he's got
grown lads.
He's got an impressive car, I tell you that one. For a lad who's not really played any first team football at a high level, he's got a serious set of wheels.
Very, very nice. So we've got a little bit more on Evans up on the Tarlhurst End, and we spoke to a Walsall fan who's watched him a bit this season, so you can always go and check that out. The other signing we made this week is a much more known commodity. Jan Kermagan is signed from Bournemouth on an 18-month deal. Charles, a few people having questions about the wisdom of signing a 34-year-old who's not played a lot of football this season. Are you a fan of the move?
I am a fan of the move if he replicates the form he showed last season. Well, not just last season, the form he showed at Charlton before going to Bournemouth. I think he's a very good player. I really rated him. I really liked him at Charlton. My brother's a Charlton fan. I used to go and watch him a fair bit with him. And yeah, he's always caught my eyes. A really good player. Fantastic in the air. Really is an absolute brute in the air. A bit of a problem because Reading can't really cross the ball, which might be a bit of an issue. But he's really powerful in both boxes as well. And Reading have had problems dealing with set pieces as well as scoring from them. So I think he can help a lot in both ends of the pitch in that regard. And he's talented. You know, he's not just a target man or anything like that. He's got great technique. He's holds the ball up well, brings others into play. I think him and Matic Vidra could be an excellent partnership. So he ticks all the boxes. I think it's a good signing. The only drawback is it's a bit of a short-term fix, isn't it? It's not, no matter what Brian says, and Brian said yesterday that age isn't an issue when it came to him. He didn't even consider it because he's such a good player and he's so strong and fit. But he's 34, so it is a short-term fix, whatever way you look about it. Look at it, he's not here for the long term. And so that is the only drawback. And, you know, you look at Connor Washington, someone like that, who's just gone, albeit for a lot more money. But that's not short-term fix, is it? That's something you'd be buying for the long term and hoping you could really sort of cement him into the club here. You're not going to do that with Kermigan. But all things considered, I'm happy with it. And I think it's a decent signing.
Yeah, it's a decent signing. It's low risk, you know, relatively high reward. But if him and Vidra click, you know, and go on the sort of run that we saw Reading go on a few years ago when another veteran forward in Jason Roberts arrived, I think we'll all be happy. I don't think anyone was complaining about Jason Roberts' age. You know, he was 33 when he arrived, about to turn 34, and we all know what happened there. So, yeah, age is a number. But, yeah, I don't think we're looking at the striker for the next 5 years, maybe the next two.
No, and like you said, I just think it's that the possible partnership he might form with Vidra, which I think is very exciting, because Vidra's not a number nine. You know, he's not someone who should be leading line. He's been doing it in recent games with Piazon playing as a number 10. But for me, Vidra, as he showed at Watford when he was sort of playing alongside Troy Deeney, he's a very clever player. He can play off a front man, can feed off the sort of little through balls, little dinks around the corner. And I think if those two can really form a decent partnership, which all the signs suggest they could, I think it'd be a very exciting sort of second half of the season going forward.
100% agree. Well, there is one other name linked in who plays in a forward role, who has been mooted with a move to Reading. You questioned Brian on this player and got a rather humorous response, I might say. Dennis Rachels is how, yeah, I'm going to go.
I'd watch that name. Pronunciation, mate. Don't pronounce it like that in front of
no.
Brian, damn it.
Oh dear.
yeah, he's I don't know anything about him at all. I kind of get the impression, and I don't know this for sure, so it's just my opinion, that Brian doesn't probably know that much about him either, if you know what I mean, in terms of where this signing, if it happens, is coming from. I don't think this will be one that Brian has scouted too much on his long trips abroad while working for Arsenal. I get the impression that this might be a one from the Thai side of things. We'll have to wait and see. Again, that's just my opinion. I'm not sure of that, so I might be completely wrong, and it might be Brian signing all over if it does happen. But I'm not sure he's too well versed in the ways of Dennis Rackles.
Yeah, he is a Latvian forward who plays in Poland at the moment. Got a decent goal scoring record, but yeah, not much more to know about him than the stuff you've got. You can see on YouTube. Again, we've got a little bit up on him on the website, but again, one to watch this space. Any other names in the frame? Again, there was a rumour of a Spanish midfielder coming in.
Yeah, not sure another midfielder.
Is Javier Matilla. Needed?
Yeah, I'm not sure. He's a free agent, isn't he? He was at Betis. Yeah. I'm not sure if another midfielder is exactly what's needed, but who knows? Maybe it is. I haven't heard anything on that myself, so I'm not sure if there's how strong that one is. But it could happen. But speaking of Brian yesterday, he certainly wants at least a couple more in. Well, no, not at least. He wants a couple more in before the window shuts, and he's got, what, 9 days, something like that, to do it. One of those, you presume, will be a striker. If it's not Rackles, it will be someone else, depending on what happens in the Lando Sarr situation. And he said there was another position that he'd identified that he wants to strengthen. He didn't say what it was. He said he didn't want to say what it was. I think a lot of people are assuming it might be a goalkeeper, but I just get the feeling the goalkeeping situation is something he wants to sort out. But I get the feeling, and I might be wrong on it, that the summer is, we may well see something happen on that in the summer. So I'm not sure. It's interesting, the one what he was talking about yesterday, and this position he wants to strengthen, from exactly where that would be.
I think it's crossed for an exciting deadline day, at least, if not the week beforehand.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd rather it happen before deadline day, to be honest, because it's always a bit of a mad rush, isn't it? You don't really want the club panicking, trying to get things done on deadline day. It would be good if they could get it all wrapped up before then.
Oh, it's exciting as a fan, though.
That's true. It is exciting as a fan.
Think of poor Jacob South-Kline, who will be on Bush Watch again.
Is he coming down specially for it? Where is he at the moment?
He's away at university. I can't remember where he is, but he I did
Coventry or somewhere.
Yeah, I tweeted him saying, "Are you coming down for Bushwatch?" And he did confirm. So
he's making a special journey down.
It is on.
It is on.
You mentioned Orlando Sarr. looks like he's not long for this football club. Brian even going so far as to sort of semi-confirm those rumours this week, I understand.
Yeah, it was interesting listening to what Brian was saying about it yesterday, talking about his gut instinct and how he goes on that at clubs, and without saying 100% that, you know, so I was off, he was very, you know, just the fact he was quite open about it and talking about the fact that he's sort of looking elsewhere. He's playing with a fast number nine at the moment. He's obviously got Jan in now, so he's got other options. It just all looks like Orlando's off. There's obviously the AEK trying to get him. There's a couple of other clubs as well that have shown an interest. So I think Redden are open. Well, they are open. Brian said they are open to allowing him to leave as long as they can get the right deal. So whether it's on loan or on permanent, I think it's goodbye Orlando after just 6 months. Who would have thought that, when he arrived?
I know. We were having a brief conversation on Twitter yesterday, and a lot of people are pointing to that collapse against Fulham as a key turning point this season. But for me, that Orlando Sarr red card against Derby is just as important. If you look at the partnership he was building with Matty Vidra and the way they both sort of went off form and dealt with injuries and suspensions and just never recovered from it, really. Did he? One goal after that point.
I know. It was strange. He was looking so strong because I was impressed with him the first few games. I thought he was holding the ball up well, and he was getting away from defenders, and then obviously scored the goal at Brentford, followed that up with a hat trick at home against Ipswich when Reading just looked like world beaters, and that was Vidra's debut, like you said, and him, Blackman and Orlando just looked fearsome as a trio up there. And like I said, the loss of the rash moment against Derby where he just lost his head, and he's just not been the same, simple as that. He obviously scored a very good goal at Fulham, yeah, that individual strike, but other than that, you know, even during Clark, not just when McDermott came in, even during the last few days of Clark, I was trying to think back this morning of the last time he even went close to scoring a goal.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't remember him just getting into positions to score or anything like that, really, since that red card, apart from the Fulham goal. I just can't really remember him going close, hitting the woodwork or anything. So it's been a dramatic sort of fall from grace for him, really.
Yeah, very much retreated into his shell.
Yes, I remember when Martin Call was in charge. It was just a throwaway line from Martin Call. It was up at Preston, and Sarr didn't play. And we were questioning him afterwards, and I said, "Oh, what's up with Orlando?" And he said, "Oh, he's got some sort of injury. I can't remember what it was." And we thought he would be able to do it, but Orlando didn't really fancy it. And it was just a sort of throwaway line like that wasn't really picked up on, but it's stuck in my mind. And I just wonder, you know, exactly how, once he went out of the side, just how desperate he was to get back in it. You know, has he really shown on the training ground that he wants to fight for his place if he's not in the team? I don't know. You know, again, I'm just sort of making assumptions then on one throwaway line from the manager.
And it's very anecdotal, but Wimb Sr. was in the West Stand just behind the dugout on Tuesday night, and apparently Orlando was told to get warmed up and get on so they could give Vidra a well-deserved round of applause for his hat-trick. And apparently Orlando Sarr was very, very slow and not keen to get changed, and that did not please Brian McDermott. According, in my dad's words, he had a face like thunder.
Did he? It was one of the BBC boys, actually, because they sit down at the end of the press box, and one of their boys mentioned that to me yesterday at Hogwood, that they'd spotted that and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, clearly there's an issue there. There's a bit of a breakdown in relationship, and when that happens, the best thing is for all parties really is to move on.
Yeah, not going to be swapping Christmas cards, are they?
No.
Just a couple other rumours floating around. Well, not so much rumours. Obviously, two big Reading players out of contract this summer: Hal Robson-Kanu and Chris Gunter. Any update on the contract talks this week?
There are no contract talks. simple as that. They haven't talked. Just not happening. So whether the club are, you know, wait and see what happens. Like, I mean, we said it. We talked about Chris last week, didn't we? His contract, and I think, like you say, it's a big one for him. Will Reading be able to offer the sort of money that I'm pretty sure a lot of other clubs are going to be able to offer him, and probably will already be offering him now it's January? I don't know. I would love to sign him, but you just get the sense that this might be the swan song for the two Wales internationals at Reading.
Well, I bring up Chris Gunter because rumours sort of doing the rounds this morning. I think it started over in the Metro, which is never the greatest gospel in terms of transfer rumours, but it's worth bringing up anyway. They're suggesting that Norwich and West Brom are tempted to make a January bid for Gunter. We've obviously seen Nick Blackman go this January with his contract up in the summer. Do you think that if Reading did get a decent bid, they would let him go?
Well, if they did, they'd have to sign a right back because they haven't got one to play for the second half of the season. Maybe, but they're not. You know, what's a decent bid for
500k is the fee being mooted.
I mean, is that a decent? Is that because they're gonna have to? They'd have to get right back in, wouldn't they? At that point, and they can't really get another loan in, so they have to spend some of that. And do you just wait? Is 500 grand worth losing Gunter for the second half of the season? I'm not sure. I mean, that's me with my business hat on. I didn't think the club should have cashed in on Nick Blackman. We all know my thoughts on that. So maybe the club will look at it and think it's, you know, we may as well take the money, but they will have to invest if they do that because they haven't got a right back to come in unless they play, what, Sean Long or someone. I'm not really sure who they'd play at right back. So not for me. I hope not. Anyway, I think Chris has got a lot to still give, even if it is just for 6 more months.
Yeah, well, I don't think Nick Blackman's been taken to by the Derby fans very well. They don't seem very happy with their new investment. No surprise, given that their form has nosedived conveniently around the same time.
Yes. I think they got a spanking, didn't they? 3-0 home to Birmingham. Last
obviously
week.
Couldn't beat Reading. So,
well, I'm anyway. Not sure our striker gets the blame for losing 3-0. To be fair.
Oh, come on! You've watched Reading enough to know that anyone can get the blame for anything, and Arsenal as well. Anyone can get the blame.
Very true.
So whoever the fans pick on this week. Right, let's move on then. Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday. What's the injury situation looking like? Obviously, a few names have been missing for a while. Aaron Tischbowler has been out. Gareth McCleary was the big injury worry. He went off against Huddersfield with a knock as well. Who's likely in and who's out?
I mean, Gareth was kind of 50-50, Brian was saying yesterday, but I'd be very surprised if he's involved. I thought Ola John played very well when he came on anyway. In midweek, Paul McShane's still out, Aaron Tischbowler still out, Michael Hector has been back training this week. Whether he is fit enough to return, Brian again wasn't sure. He thought he might be, so it wouldn't surprise me to see Michael back. Jordan Beater, I think, will be involved. He played 60 minutes in the behind. Yeah, he played 60 minutes in a behind closed doors game this week on Tuesday, I think it was, and took full part in training yesterday. So I think we'll certainly see Jordan back.
Excellent. Well, how do you see this one going then? Sheffield Wednesday, obviously, on a really great run. I noticed rumours last night. Apologies, I've not been up long, so this has been confirmed. I hold my hands up. Gary Hooper.
Yes, it has been confirmed.
Has it been confirmed this morning?
About 10 minutes before I got on the phone to you.
Oh, well, there you go.
I think they had to do it before midday and they announced it about 20 past
Damn.
11, something like that. Yeah.
So he can play on Saturday?
Yeah, he can play.
Oh, that's...
Scored 4 goals in the last couple of games, I think, as well, wasn't he, Gary Hooper? So, yeah, very decent striker. Big doubt over Forestieri. He's got a knee problem. Not sure if he'll be involved. It'll be a bonus for Redden if he's not, because I really rate Forestieri. I think he's a good player and he put Redden to the sword at Watford last season, I think it was. The decent side Wednesday arriving here on the back of 4 straight wins, so full of confidence. Redden played him off the park up at Hillsborough earlier in the season, and if it wasn't for Jonathan Bond's late error, they would have deservedly won that game. So you just hope that Redden are going to go into it now really boosted by what happened in midweek. You know, it was you just sense that if anything's going to turn a season around, a game like that could, where they looked down and out, and then suddenly everything just clicked for them. Obviously, the red card helped, but they played well. They played really good football in that second half. I was really impressed with how they played. You just hope they can take that into Saturday's game and just start to get a little bit of momentum, because that's what I think was so disappointing against MK Dons. There was a little bit of momentum building before that game. It was such a bad game to lose.
Very much so. Do you see either of the two new signings starting this one?
I can see Kermigan starting. Yeah, both of them are available. And when I asked Brian yesterday about it, he said Kermigan is totally ready. You know, there's no doubt, there's no worry about his fitness or his match sharpness or anything like that. He said he's good to go. So I wouldn't be at all surprised. The only thing is that I think Brian's liking what Piazon's been doing recently. He's playing in that number 10 role. So although he did walk off with a bit of a sore back, it looked like, on Wednesday and Tuesday, and Brian mentioned yesterday that he should be all right, but maybe if he's a little bit stiff, then Jan will start. I'd like to see Kermigan start, to be fair. I certainly would at home. I'd stick him number 9 and have Vidra playing just off him.
And with the McCleary injury as well, it opens up a natural spot for him, so wouldn't have to shift personnel around too much. How do you see this one going then, prediction league-wise? We all got it wrong at the MK Dons.
We've got to stop all predicting wins.
I know. Well, Westy did predict a draw, but someone needs to throw in a defeat every week. Just to make the balance up. And on that
Has anyone thrown in a defeat this week?
No, they haven't. Not yet. Although I haven't spoken to Westy. So far, I've gone for a 1-0 win. Johnny said 2-2. And Handbags said a 2-1 Reading win.
Oh, what am I going to go for? Oh, you know what?
You are top of the league, so...
I am top of the league. I am going to say... Did you say 1-0?
I said 1-0 Reading, yeah.
Has anyone said 1-0?
No.
I'm going to do the great fence sit and go 1-1.
That is fine. 1-1. Okay, well, I'll get Westy's thoughts before the game. But that just about wraps us up, Charles. What can we expect in Get Running over the next few days? I take it you'll be web chatting in the next few minutes.
I will. I'm just trying to look at what the time is right now. 10 past 12, yeah, 1 o'clock I shall be doing that. So if this gets up in time, then head over and join in. It should be a good old lively hour of written FC debate. Always is in transfer window time. Then obviously all the match reports, all the match reaction for the weekend, and then building up to a goal over again next week.
Perfect. Well, I said head over to getreading.co.uk for that, and you can follow Charles on Twitter @Charles_Watts. We're at thetarlhurstend.com and @thetarlhurstend on Twitter. Lots of good bits and pieces up. I said we've got the Walsall view on George Evans. We've also got a Bournemouth view on Kermigan. I've also taken a look into when Reading have signed 30-plus strikers in the past. So if you want to see how the likes of Keith Scott, Trevor Morley, Yakubu and Jason Roberts all got on, then head over.
What a player, Yakubu. Yeah. Year ago today, you realise, Yuri Travner signed year ago today. Big moment in Reading history.
I saw that go up this morning. It's like this royal sign. I was like, who is that? Just very, very quickly, I was writing verdicts or a success or a flop on each of those names, and most of them were clear cut. Yakubu was the one I couldn't decide on whether it was a success or a flop. Just for that goal at Derby.
I think he's a success. Yeah. I've had this argument before with people. I think it's a success. He did absolutely soddle for the rest of the time. But that goal at Derby, I'm sorry, I think just for that and what it meant to the club and you know what it meant in the context of the run to the semi-final, I think he paid back every single bit of money the club spent on him with that goal.
Agreed. I went a successful flop, so I sat on the fence. Right, that wraps up. Charles, again, thank you very much for joining me. Hopefully we'll speak next week and we'll be running up to another FA Cup weekend.
Yes, Tom Mann. Enjoy the weekend, Dan.
And you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Ta-da.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
@TheTarlhurstEnd
and facebook.com/TheTarlhurstEnd.